With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to a Tennis.com podcast direct from the U.S. Open, sponsored by Prince XO3 Racket Technology and by American Express. American Express presents Next Contenders. Get to know four of today's game changers in tennis and follow their moves during the 2010 U.S. Open. For more, visit nextcontenders.com.
Hey folks, coming to you from the press room here Saturday at the U.S. Open. The men's session of Super Saturday is over.
We are.
And they know who I am by now, but I'm Ed McGrogan here with Pete Bodo for Tennis Magazine, tennis.com. Novak Djokovic just beat Roger Federer in a very, very tense fifth set, one of the better sets of tennis quality-wise I've seen in a while, but we were just talking about it here, and earlier Rafael Nadal had much less trouble in getting by Mikhail Yuzi, so the men's final is Djokovic and Nadal, but we were just talking a little about the main dramatic points of this, especially in the fifth set, and there was a lot of great quality tennis. There's also some very nervy tennis, and I guess maybe you could argue that on Roger on the two match points he had potentially, both were second serves. But besides that, it's a set where Djokovic, I think, certainly won the match. He played good offense.
Slow down, Eddie.
Good. Defended well throughout the match and ended up coming back from two sets to one down, which is not too many people have done against Federer in their careers.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start with you, Pete. The only other person in the room. Yeah. Well, I guess what turned this Novak's way, I guess?
I think Novak was persistent. He's a couple of years younger than Federer, which really helps. And he's got championship genes. I think that makes a huge difference. You know, Federer is at the stage in career. He's got a lot of miles on the odometer. And one of the things that happens as these players inevitably get older is their nerve fails a little bit. Now, he played a great fifth set, Federer did, so did Djokovic. So this isn't, a sweeping criticism of the way he played, and, he's not a choke artist or a gutless, performer. The fact of the matter is, though, he's, I think his nerves got to him on those two balls. He shanks one of them, and the other one he sort of yanks wide on with the cross court, kind of an inside and forehand, if I remember right, and he yanks it wide. Now, if Federer, I guarantee you this, 3 years ago, Federer makes one of those balls, no question in my mind. But that's a difference between a champion who's coming up on the backside of his career and, starting a downhill slide, and a player who's still on the upswing. And Djokovic, you got to figure, is still on the upswing. So tough loss, kind of a reality check for Roger, but also kind of something to stimulate him to keep working, as he said in the press conference, not all negative.
Yeah, I guess I wonder, too, what you say about 3 years ago, Federer, if this match would have even went the distance at that point, because he, after a first set where he comes back from a breakdown, I believe, to win 7-5, he lets the second set slip away in about 30 minutes, it felt like.
And let's remember, I think it was one all, and he was, 40-15 up serving, if I'm not mistaken, and he actually loses control of that game. All the momentum was going his way. He's looking at maybe really keeping his foot on Djokovic's throat, and all of a sudden, he lets it up. Djokovic pops up and starts hitting winners left and right and gets himself into the match. That second set was critical in the sense that even though it was kind of a blowout set, it really gave Novak, it wiped out the momentum Federer had
quickly,
and it made
right
it a best of three on hard courts.
Yeah, Roger mentioned in the press conference that it was to his detriment that he, for those two sets, the second and fourth set, he didn't even really make Djokovic work too hard. And then they were both very brisk sets, and like you said, they took this after the third set, which Federer won. You could sense a real sense of that he accomplished something just to get that big two sets to one lead, and it looked like the usual storyline might follow through, but the fourth set was very quick, and then the fifth was also very up and down set. Roger had at 3-3, that was a game he was up 40-love and ended up slipping back to deuce, and it's a 3-deuce game. Roger ends up pulling it out in the end, and
I go back to what I said about the about Roger's sort of I've always called it champion's fatigue. There's a point at which champion's mind, it's like metal fatigue, when if you take a piece of metal, bend it off enough, eventually kind of heats up and eventually it breaks, and it gets weaker, so it'll break. If it doesn't break right away, it's going to break soon. And I think that's just the reality of life. I mean, anybody who takes umbrage at that, I think is kind of nuts. But, I think if he actually in those five sets, you notice that those, two big lapses in those two sets, he just, the mental energy isn't there. A young guy, especially at the start of his career, he's just going for it. He keeps his foot on the gas and he keeps going. Federer, he gets that set and it's not a conscious thing. He has no idea what's going on in there really. But he kind of lets up a little bit mentally, and it kind of blindsides you. And there's nothing you can do to. He's no fool. He knows. I mean, he looks back. He's gonna know what went wrong, and he certainly knows better. But there's nothing you can do to prevent that kind of thing.
Tad, surprising in that. Also thinking about it, he had only straight sets wins coming into the match, but this is a different opponent than the guys. Regardless, and Djokovic. We'll talk about him just a minute here. To his credit, what he did very well. I thought he hit the forehand. He's still much a rallying player, but I remember shades of kind of the 08 Australian Open, what I saw today when he was another term where he beat Federer in the semifinals and was a much more aggressive player. He going for the lines a lot more on both wings and just fantastic movement all around to really make Federer earn any points he got, especially later on in the match. So Djokovic, he played probably one of the best matches I've ever seen him play, I think, in this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
American Express presents Next Contenders, your chance to get up close and personal with four of today's game changers in tennis: John Isner, Sam Querrey, Melanie Udin, and Caroline Wozniacki. Visit nextcontenders.com to follow the excitement during the 2010 U.S. Open and discover the person behind the player. It's tennis trivia time. Here's a chance to test your tennis knowledge with a tennis.com podcast trivia question. Brought to you by Prince XO3 Racket Technology. Are you ready? The question is, the most successful double tandem team of all time, the Bryan brothers, play with which current Prince racket model? If you think you know the answer to our trivia question, visit the official Prince Tennis Facebook page at facebook.com/official.prince.tennis. Once again, that's facebook.com/official.prince.tennis. Become a fan today and be sure to leave your answer on the Prince wall.
And waiting for Djokovic is Nadal, who Nadal won 6-2, 6-3, 6-4 over Yuzhny. Same kind of exact way template as his earlier matches have gone. I mean, from the first round to the semifinals, it seems that Nadal has really kind of just been building on, it wasn't a summer where he was lights out on the hard court events, but that may have helped him here, and he's been looking just, unbeatable. I don't think anybody questions that he's the favorite in the final for many reasons, his play and then just Djokovic's condition.
Well, look, if I just played 3 hours and 45 minutes and I have to come back and play a guy in fewer than 21 hours, or just about 21 hours, the last guy I want to be playing is Rafael Nadal. That's a fact. That's tough. It's going to be a very, very tough ask of Djokovic. Wrong guy, wrong situation. Maybe the right court, though. I think he's got that going for him because Djokovic is good on his court. And, Nadal, he certainly has played great there, no question about it. But let's face it, it's the only surface he hasn't really conquered, just by definition. He's never won here. So, Nole's got a couple, of pieces of flotsam and jetsam to cling to as he's bobbing around in that sea of anxiety tonight, before this match. But there isn't a whole lot there, I don't think. I mean, it's very, very hard for me to imagine him having, Nadal needs to go out there and start pushing back moon balls and just wait for Djokovic's legs to fall off.
Yeah, with so much on the line for Rafa, historically wise, is he going to be feeling it, the pressure, especially come, even if he has a good start But let's just say from the beginning, is he going to be feeling the pressure? Because it's all on him to win, not just the career slam, but like we said, with Djokovic just tattering at this point.
I don't think there will be. I think this is another big, big, big plus for Nadal here. And I should backtrack a little bit and say, when I said all Nadal has to do is go out there and hit a couple moon balls, you know, that's clearly not Nadal's style. I don't expect that he's going to do that. However, he doesn't have to worry about going in there tomorrow and getting a really, really good start, playing really strong, really, really taking chances in the beginning, which he might feel and which he might be inclined to do if he felt a lot of pressure. He's going in there thinking, look, the guy across the net is going to be tired. I don't need to really go beyond. I don't need to get outside myself on this one. I can play within my limitations, you know, stay sharp, make him work, get a feeling for what's going on for the first couple of games, and then basically see – get the measure of Djokovic and dial my game up as much as I need. It's very different from going in there and feeling pressure and knowing if the guy gets on top of you quickly, you know, you could be in trouble. And if you know that if the first set gets away, then suddenly you really start feeling the pressure. It's my career slam. He's on, you know, oddly enough, Rafa is in a position tomorrow that Federer wasn't at the French Open when he went out last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's all of a sudden, the main obstacle is cleared out of the way. It's an epic achievement. It's a toughest slam for him, just like the French Open was a toughest slam for Roger. So now there will be pressure in that, though, I think. You know, the pressure will come really from being in that situation where now everyone expects him to win. And that's the thing that can get to him. I don't think, you know, the quality of the opponent, that sort of stuff, is going to worry him that much.
Rafa and... I assume Rafa's your pick. Any number of sets, or does it really matter at this point?
Hey, I'll give Djokovic a set just because of the quality of the match he played today, the fifth set, and also how emotionally stoked he's going to be. You know, we saw Verdasco the other night come out after playing a really, really long match and beating David Ferrer. He comes out and he actually plays a good, you know, good first set against Nadal there. And then a second set, you know, by the third or fourth game of the second set, we saw Verdasco slowing down a little bit. We saw some of those errors that, you know, that you get when you're flat-footed. You know, the ball flies long. To take your eye off the ball for a second. And I expect that's the kind of thing that might happen tomorrow. I think Rafa needs to just sit back and think, well, look, the guy could come out and play great because he's going to be – emotion will carry you a certain distance, especially because Djokovic is relatively young. But, you know, you're not going to sustain that emotion throughout the match, I don't think. And Rafa should just bide his time. I'm going to give Djokovic a set, call it in four. Maybe Djokovic gets a first set, but I don't see him doing much more than that.
Either way, there's a lot of stories to be written tomorrow, whether Rafa wins career slam or whether Djokovic somehow pulls it out. And then we have a whole new set of things to talk about. So we'll leave it at that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow here at Tennis.com Podcast. Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to the Tennis.com podcast, sponsored by American Express. American Express presents Next Contenders. Get to know four of today's game changers in tennis and follow their moves during the 2010 U.S. Open. For more, visit nextcontenders.com. And also by Prince XO3 Racket Technology. For more news and information, head over to tennis.com. Thanks for listening.